You're listening to another Woodshop Podcast, the okayest podcast of its type. Your hosts are Daniel Dunlap of Daniel Dunlap Woodworks and Peter Kapar of Petrie's Workshop. You can find them as well as the podcast on your favorite social media platforms.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to episode 196 of Another Woodshop Podcast, the only podcast guaranteed to have 10 minutes of the most important information you will ever hear. Only catches, it's spread over 90 minutes of just two grown men giggling. Now, here's the thing. We've been diluting this content by bringing on guests, which is great, right? I'm not arguing with that. But we thought it's time for some pure, uncut Colombian Dan and Pete. Listen to every episode on any device with the Escobar podcast app. Dan, what's going on?
Unadulterated Pete and Dan content coming
pure
at you.
Uncut American.
Well, it's like 95% American. You're 5% Polish.
Speaking of pure and uncut and possibly Colombian, Dan.
Let's talk about our patrons, shall we?
Wow.
Yo, we got a couple new patrons this week. We got a Joseph Weinberger.
Whoa.
And Ben Logsden. That may or may not be the brother of Nathan Logsden or possibly cousin. Who knows?
The whole family's signing up. I appreciate it. Yeah, baby. Yeah.
If anything, what you need to take from this is if you're a patron, try to get all your family members to sign up. We would appreciate it.
Oh, yeah.
We would love you long time.
That's the maximum length we have of loving.
We don't have anything longer than long time, I don't think.
I don't think we do. We might. I don't know.
No. Let me check the records.
What is the minute of, or the unit of measurement for love?
Long time.
All I know is this much as you spread your arms wide, right?
Right. Let us... If you don't mind, let us talk about our VIP patrons for a moment.
I love those guys.
A momentary, minuscule amount of time. It's going to take like a minute or two. Our VIP patrons are as follows in no particular order except for what's on my screen. I have no idea what Patreon gives me in my order queue. I just read them.
It's alphabetical by love.
Is it?
Yep.
I don't know. Yep. Actually, that could be correct. I wouldn't even know.
Could be right.
It could be right. I have no idea. Scotty Holland from Elevated Wood Design. Charlie Coons from Stubby K Studio. Oh. Justin Frazier from Frazier Canyon Woodworks. Jesse McIntyre over at Sage Hill Woodcrafts. Gillette Woodworks, Victor Aragama, Knit Brim, Brim Woodworking over at Nick Brim Woodworking, Max Reed and not Alyssa at Reed Design Co.
Did you specify that?
Yeah, they did. Matt Maynard over at Patriotic Pines of North Carolina. Bill Burkle at WTB Woodworking, Malcolm at Bossa Nova Woodworks, Justin from Calvary Customs, Patrick Gensel. Michael Flickinger, Scott Shirk from Red Lake Custom Woodworks, Max and Mindy Coons from Stubby K Studio, and the alive and well, Justin Bailey from Campfire Woodworks.
The one and only. Now on Amazon.
Thank you to all of our patrons. We appreciate you so much. We say this every week. You keep the lights on. You keep this thing going. We can't thank you enough verbally. If you see us in person, we will give you hugs.
Oh, we give the best hugs, guys. We really do.
Perhaps.
Can confirm.
Butt spanks?
Oh, that's a firm grip on a behind is optional. That's a fifth tier. That's up to you guys.
It's there.
Men only.
If you want to help us out, on Patreon. You can go over to patreon.com/anotherwoodshoppodcast and join one of our tiers over there and become one of the men army.
Absolutely. And by the way, if you're a patron, over the next month or two, we're going to be scheduling our quarterly, aka every 6 months, Patreon call. So,
wait, is that how quarterly
works? Yeah, carry the two. Yeah, it's a bi-weekly every 6 months. We just cancel all the ones in between. But about every 6 months, we try to have a Patreon call. We try to have it a little more than that, but just time-wise.
Speaking of that, though.
Yeah.
Quarterly.
Yeah. Taxes are due.
We got something coming up. Episode 200.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That has nothing to do with quarterly, but okay.
It has nothing to do with it. But I was thinking quarters, 200.
Episode 200's coming up.
Yeah. We're gonna do some things. We're gonna do things.
Make it sound so naughty.
We haven't like solidified anything yet, but I feel like we're gonna do things. You're gonna want to tune in.
Listen, at the very least, you're getting there'll be one giveaway for a single AWP t-shirt, and that is literally the floor.
At least.
And that, for most people, that's enough to just show up. So we appreciate that. But we are going to be trying to get a lot of stuff lined up.
What do you say we bump that up to like a hoodie or something? Or like a coffee mug?
Whoa. All right. I like hoodie. Hoodie's nice. But here's the thing, though. We are headed into summer. That's the only reason I'm like, oh, let's teach. But hoodies are cool, too. You know what? For the winter.
People got to be prepared.
You know what?
Before you know it, fall's going to be here. Winter's going to be here.
At least one of each we're going to be giving away. We're probably going to be giving away more than that. So,
I ain't got that kind of money.
The podcast will have to pay for it.
Oh, the podcast has that kind of money? Yeah. Yo, podcast, can I borrow 10 bucks?
Hey, podcast. Hey, buddy. but yeah, I mean, the podcast makes enough for us to keep this going, go to events, see you guys. Basically, that's it. We can't even afford our clothes, brings me to my next point. Dan, who are you wearing this episode?
Oh, new segment. I am currently wearing Broken Lead Woodworks, the t-shirt he sent me. Mike over there, he lovingly sent me this t-shirt, and my hat is by Little Bug Woodworking. It's the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air.
Style downstairs.
Little Bug Woodworking hat. It's a great ensemble. It's perfect.
Hanes underwear.
Pete, what are you wearing currently?
This outfit is brought to you in part by Total Boat Hat, but also Ed Mancini sent me a shirt. So we decided, like, nice. We wear maker shirts like all day. We just decided we're gonna shout you guys out. This is great.
I'm gonna let you guys in on a little secret.
Oh,
in the in between pre-show and actual show, Dan was going to the restroom, and he came up with an idea that was like
he had a pee thought. He had a bidet thought. Bidet thought. Like shower thoughts. Bidet thoughts.
We should shout out who we're wearing, because we always wear like t-shirts that people send us, and we don't give them a shout out.
I got to send us. Ed Mancini gave me the shirt and gave me a hug, and then I kissed him on the lips. Okay. So, and then of course, wait, I'm not done yet. Costco Kirkland brand underwear. Boom, baby. I don't mean to flex on everyone like that, but
Mike from Broken Lead Woodworks. I talked to him.
I love that dude. He's so nice.
He said that he ran out of t-shirts, but he wanted to send me one. So he reached out after we got back from WorkbenchCon, and he made good on his word. He sent me a shirt. It arrived a few days ago. I'm wearing it now. So if you want to see our shirts, go check us out on YouTube.
Yeah.
YouTube.com/anotherwoodshoppodcast.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Yeah, and then honestly, the pre-show, like today, the pre-show was fire. We're just having a good old time with everyone hanging out.
Over an hour.
We went over an hour. It was a good one. Yeah.
It was. I don't know if it was good, but we rambled.
We were there physically, and people showed up, and you know what? That's more than we can ask for.
Right. I got nothing to add.
Yeah.
That's what more could you want?
Well, how about some maker news, Dan?
Good news, everyone!
Forgot about that, right? I've been leaning into sound effects.
Hold on. Let's back up. I want you to do that without me like giggling over it.
All right, ready? Ready?
Good news, everyone.
I mean, we were like looking for like a news, like news ticker thing. And then I just typed in news. That was the second thing that came up. And I'm like, well, there's no going back. There's nothing better. Professor Farnsworth from Futurama just telling you there's good news. And it's never good news.
Do you want to go first?
Yes. Because my first thing is literally when Professor Farnsworth says good news, everyone, it's never good news. And in this case, Patrick Gensel's down below 95K. What's happening, Instagram? He pointed it out in the pre-show. And so let's talk about that for a second, because that's something we all experience when you have like a flood of, followers and you hit that like peak. It's not like you level off and you're fine. I used to be 103, like 8. Like I was almost at 104. I'm at 102. It goes up high. It like then like levels off. Then you have a lot of negative days. Like you have dozens of people leaving you every day. It's crazy.
We've talked about this before.
We have.
I think we've brought it up briefly. It's the post-viral letdown, right?
Yeah.
So I'm not saying that Patrick got where he was because of a viral video, but that's exactly what I'm saying.
No, he's just shaking that ass on screen. That's how he got it.
If you see, and it's not just like with 100K followers or whatever, but if you see a massive uptick of followers once you post a video that has gone quote unquote viral, and that could be, you know,
couple hundred thousand,
couple million views, you know, whatever it is, there is that time after the video has like run its course and people have like followed you, and then they're seeing what you post regularly.
Yeah.
I find that word.
They're like, wait, this guy doesn't just post like dry glue pulled out of a brush content?
Exactly.
This is garbage.
They unfollow. Unfollow like right away. We've all felt that. If you've had any sort of viral video, you've felt that post-viral downgrade or whatever you want to call it.
It's the post-coitus clarity, I think, is cool. Oh my god, this content's actually not that good, huh?
I was just so like drunk last night. I feel like that's kind of what Patrick is going through right now. He had a couple videos pop off that did very, very well. And
he deserves it. He earned it.
I'm not saying he doesn't deserve it.
Of course,
it.
Yeah, but just say it.
He's past that moment. He's past that 15 minutes of fame where his videos aren't as viral as they were. So people are dropping off in droves.
It kind of hits the
ego.
It really does, man. It hurts where it hurts in all the wrong places. I talked about this several times, and I talked about this in a pre-show. I crossed 100K like 5 times because I hit 101K, and then I dipped to 99, and then back to 100K, 99, and over again over weeks, and I was fighting to keep that 100K because I was posting almost daily at the time just to try to keep that number. It's so crazy. But anyways, Patrick, you're going to be right back over 100K, or not back over, but you're going to be over 100K in no time. Trust me. Something else will blow up. You're going to kill it.
Yeah. Keep it up.
What else
you
got,
seen? I want to keep talking about Patrick for a second. Not just because he's a VIP patron.
Oh, is he really? Oh. Oh, I guess I'll talk more.
Patrick Gensel of...
I knew that.
Patrick Gensel?
Patrick Gensel, yes.
For the last couple days, he's been posting these art engravings that he's been doing on his laser that are just like, they're so crisp and they're so detailed. I have no idea how he's accomplishing the level of detail that he's doing on these little art pieces that he's doing.
Yeah.
He's engraving them on little pieces of metal, from what I understand.
Oh, cool.
Have you seen what I'm talking about?
No, I have not. Honestly, this whole week I've been so busy, I've really not been posting or checking out Instagram at all. So I got to check that out.
Don't bother. It's
no.
It's
yeah. I might actually unfollow him. I don't know. We'll see. Unless he blows up again, I'll follow him again. we'll see.
It's cool, but it's not worth following. Don't even worry about it.
Well, Dan, what else is going on?
Are we still talking about Maker News?
Well, Maker News, yeah. If you're not ready for your Maker News, I can tell you that AWP has sent their emissary. The emissary has been deployed on a diplomatic mission to France. So we had sent our diplomat, Malcolm, the voice of AWP.
We just gave him a little note that said, hey, pass this along. Yeah. We didn't pay him.
Since you're there. He was going to France anyways, and we piggybacked on a trip. Let's just put it that way, in spirit. So he's actually going to be there, and guys, he is going to be visiting Thomas, the one and only Thomas from TSG, the corgi of the woodworking world.
France.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm so excited for them to hang out. They're going to chat. They're going to work on a project together. Est-ce que je... Pour aller aux toilettes, or whatever the
what?
That's all the French I know. It's like, can I go to the bathroom? Because I would always try to get out of the class. I don't know, but yeah, that's exciting. So Malcolm's actually, he landed today in Paris, and he's going to be there for a family thing, and he's going to hang out with Thomas next week, which is super cool.
And apparently, they're doing something like super secret.
Yeah, little project.
So yeah, we're not following Malcolm over at Bossa Nova Woodworks. Or Thomas, you should be.
Check out both of them.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And Malcolm's been just leaning into... He's becoming a maker, like, in a way, like, to me, like a celebrity account. Or, like, just an entertainer account. He crossposts with a bunch of other makers. He's got a good voice.
I want to call him a maker, celebrity, entertainer.
It's almost like he influences people. What's the word for that?
I have no idea. I'm coming up. With...
A make master. Let's just go make with that. Master. Make master. Make master car. he is the make master car of humans. He's just got it all. He's got it all. But then, what else you got? What do you got on your this week in Maker News?
Apparently, Jay Bates. Is moving
not allowed again.
He's moving, he's packing up his shop.
How do you put an elevator into your house, into your shop, and then you move? You don't do that.
I don't know.
I don't like it,
but I feel that Jay Bates and Mark Spaghetti from the Wood Talk Softer they're in like a like
you're done moving, guy.
They're what is it? What is the word I'm looking for? Not a conflict, but they're bashing heads to see who
can move the most. move the most. Yeah, that's if I see one more shop tour, I'm gonna lose it.
Oh my goodness!
No,
but, so apparently Jay Bates is moving again. He just released the video today,
dude. That shopping empty, crazy.
Shop move, and full transparency. Haven't watched it. I saw the thumbnails.
I was like,
oh, this is it. This is the explanation. So I'm gonna watch it actually probably tomorrow, but Jay's moving again.
Yeah.
I think Jay's been through like three or four shops.
Yeah. I mean,
Jay started in a backyard cave in Mississippi.
A 1J garage.
A 1J.
is Jay Bates a unit of measurement for shop space?
It should be at this point.
I'm going to have a 3.5 Jay Bates shop one day. You'll see.
Anyway, if you've been a longtime follower of Jay, that might be of interest to you. I've been a longtime follower of Jay. I'm a super fan. I'd love to have him on this show.
Oh, actually, why have we not reached out to him? We should get him on.
I feel like he's unobtainable.
We had John Spaghetti or whatever his name was. So, like, you know.
Mark Linguini? I don't know.
By the way, if anyone's really confused, it's Mark Spagnuolo. Like the godfather of like YouTube woodworking. If anyone's actually confused about what we're talking about.
One of these days. Oddly, I feel more intimidated about reaching out to Jay than I do to Mark.
That's because he's got those eyes, man. Those eyes.
Man, it might be the eyes. I don't know. I don't know.
Rar.
I don't know. One of these days.
You just, I just stare into his eyes and I just go. I'm leaning into sound effects here. But like, all right. So speaking of YouTube videos, though, did you guys watch Jason Gilligan Hibbs commit a war crime by shaving his beard off? And then he also had a video.
Bruh. Wait.
I can actually do.
Bruh.
Yes. But like, so Jay, I do want to shout this out. Jason Hibbs actually dropped a really good video this week, and it is buying wood online. Because I don't know why, but I've had several people reach out to me. Every month, at least one person a month reaches out to me, or sometimes several, being like, hey, where can I get wood online? I'm like, why are you asking me? I bought wood online once.
That's a legitimate question. Like, not everybody lives close to a sawmill or a lumber supplier.
So this video is a great resource. He ordered wood, roughly the same amount of wood, depending on the, and he explains it really well. It's a great resource.
The thing that is disconcerting about Jason's video.
It's a dang war crime.
If you're not familiar with Jason's videos, like Jason Hibbs.
It's the most glorious beard. The most glorious beard.
He's one half of the Shop Sounds podcast.
Never heard of it.
I know. However, he's known for having the beard. Yes?
He's
got a voluptuous beard.
He is the beard.
He's the beard.
It's a beard with a guy attached that makes woodworking.
As soon as that video starts, no beard. Gone.
But tell them the worst part.
The worst part is he does
a mid-roll ad.
A mid-roll ad. And he's beardful.
Yeah, full beard.
I'm going with it.
Hello, Jason. A continuity much? Come on.
Oh, it's awful. It's awful. It's almost unwatchable.
It distracts. I literally had
to shut the video off, and I gave him a thumbs down.
I had to just listen to it like a podcast, right?
But, I couldn't do it.
No, but we make jokes. But it's a really, really good video to check out. But dang it, man. Grow that beard back. What were you thinking?
Yeah, it was really awkward looking.
It's really awkward.
Like, what is going on?
I want the beard back.
It wasn't even like to the skin.
No, it wasn't. Short.
It was like this. It was like my beard.
Jason's at the perfect age where he's got the right amount of gray and black hair on his face and his hair. And it was parts of the beard were gray, parts of the mustache were black, and it was just like it's just different, man. We don't like change. We don't like change. Just saying. We don't like change. I go to the store, they're like, here's your change. I don't want it. No. Speaking of change, Dan, pennies
back at your face.
Dan, I've been using the same glue for like ever, my whole life, right? Let's talk about some change.
Nick Custom Woodworks.
Not Nick.
He started his own glue company called Boss Dog Glue.
Yeah, Boss Dog Glue.
Yeah. I mean, what I like about this is it is a one-person operation.
Quite literally a one-man shop. And the work is doing like nuts.
Building themselves from the ground up. And I've been seeing this Boss Dog Glue all over the place. Quite literally. I've seen it everywhere. So I think that's worth a look. And I think it's worth a long-term review. But it's so new.
Guys, it's another resource. And the thing is, like, here's the thing. You can't swing a piece of white oak around without hitting a new oil brand or wax brand or something, right? So, like, that's fairly common. Like, because it's really easy. Dan makes his own. I make my own sometimes. Like, it's very easy to make a hard wax oil.
I'm going to get into that, actually, in what's on my bench.
We'll get to it. But like glues and adhesives like that, there's just a couple big dogs. You know, you got the loose bond, you got the partial boat, you got the you know, I'll say the full name when they pay us for sponsorship. No, but like there's a couple of glue brands out there, right? But like that's not as easy of a science. That's not natural products that you can get together and mix.
No.
Like he worked on a formula. And actually, they boast about the fact that it's a white glue or tan glue, not a yellow glue when it dries. So that's something that, right. You know, when you're using white oak, maple, things like that, if you have a nice tight joint, you're not really seeing it. But if you do have a bit of a gap, which, like, let's be real, it's woodworking. You're going to have some gaps. It's nice to have something that matches your material a little better. Just like, you know, we use tight bond dark, whatever, for walnut.
Dude,
sometimes.
I use so much of that type on dark.
Really? For maple?
Well, not maple. I do most of my stuff. It's walnut. Most of it.
And yeah. it's really cool to see a new player in the game. You know, they're going to do well, absolutely. I think. And I wish them all the luck. I haven't tried it yet. Here's the thing. I haven't heard like crazy reviews or whatever. Like people seem to like it. I haven't heard any bad things about it. It seems it's just another choice. And I love choices. I love having choices. So I'm all about it.
About it. Let's talk about Tyler over at Temecula Yard Games.
That's right. Yeah, he's running a raffle. Good.
If you're not familiar with Tyler over there, he's been growing his account for a couple years. He's got fantastic content, and recently he's teamed up with
Makers for St. Jude. Yep.
Yes, and they're doing a giveaway. I think they're doing a giveaway for some cornhole boards. You have to go over to his page to get all the details, but you could win a set of cornhole boards with. In combination of Makers for St. Jude and I think they're doing like custom boards, and they'll reach out to you if you win, and it looks really, really cool.
Yeah, it's really dope, and I love anytime there's like a charity piece to it as well. You know, like especially St. Jude, like they're doing the Lord's work. You could say I always say that like. Jokingly, but like they really are. They're doing some important work there. And anytime you can donate to them. Actually, so I will kind of shout this out a little more broadly. Like if you ever wanted to get involved in something like that, reach out to Makers for St. Jude, or you can actually research St. Jude. St. Jude actually has a portal where you can create your own charities. Not full-blown charities, but you can essentially create your own raffles or sites where people can donate for an event. And then build a chair, you know, like a raffle or something around it. So there's a lot of resources out there if you want to do some good, if you've got, you know, some time to dedicate to that. I think it's a great thing to do. And shout out to him for doing that, because it takes a lot of work, you know, but it goes to a good place. So right on, man.
It's a lot of work. And yeah. I'm proud to say that the creator of Makers for St. Jude is right here in Nebraska. His name is Mike. He created the Makers for St. Jude page, and it has seen a lot of upgrowth in the last year, and I couldn't be happier or more proud of him. So keep it up, Mike. I think you're going to hear more about that page in the coming months over here on the AWP.
Dan, you know what? There's a lot of cool people out there by you, and I'm kind of I'm trying to open a beer and I'm using a letter opener, so it's loud. But I think we've been talking about this. You were busting my chops in a pre-show. I think it's time. I think we try to commit. I think
the ball's in your park, bud.
Maybe late April, early May, we do a Nebraska Omaha meetup. I don't know why I said funny. Nebraska Omaha meetup. There's a lot of good, cool people out in that area. And Dan is so gracious. To offer to host and barbecue for everyone. I just threw
I will.
So if you're going to throw me in, I'll throw you in. But yeah, no, we've been talking about doing a meetup for a while, going out to dance shop, helping them clean. have a little, you know, intervention, things like that. And we could just knock it all out. Three things in one weekend. So we'll keep you guys posted. We've been talking about this for a while, and I think it's time for a meetup. And what better place than Omaha, Nebraska?
I hate to announce this like this, but Ethnic Sandwiches is closed.
It's sad.
It's a sad time.
But you can still get Casey's Breakfast Pizza and Tums in the same place.
Absolutely.
All right. Well, I think that's it for Le Maker News, right?
Correct.
Yep. Okay.
Correct.
Dan was like choking there for a sec.
I was taking a drink.
Well, so we're bringing back an old oldie but goodie.
Wait.
What?
Wait. We missed something.
What is it?
I wanted to talk about the tortoise and the hare. Wait, the mortise and the hare.
The mortise and the hare. Yep. Oh, yes.
On IG. Yes. This guy. If you're not following this guy, he's doing something like pretty fun. He's making a 1-inch by 1-inch block for every follower that he gets. And he's posting it like he's making a Jenga wall or something.
All the way.
And he's up to like 13,000 followers. So he's got like 13,000.
He's got some back work to do.
he's got like 13,000 1-inch by 1-inch blocks that he's doing. I started following him. I want to say around the 10,000 follower mark. So that's actually been pretty funny. He professes that he's going to do this up until 50,000 followers.
That's a lot of blocks. So
it's pretty fun. I'm going to be honest. I have no idea what he's working on. I'm just in it for the blocks.
So that's become like, it was almost a trend for a little bit in the last month or so where people would do like, I will do one blank for every follower.
Yes.
Because I remember watching a video of this like young, like kid was probably like 13 years old and he was a little more heavy set. And he was like, I'm going to do one push up for every follower. The next morning he wakes up with like 10,000, 15,000 followers. And he's like, so I'm going to walk 1 mile for every 1,000. had to reset that goal.
I think I know exactly what trend you're talking about. And I caught on with that when I have no idea how I found this page, but I was on TikTok and they were like, I'm going to eat one slice of cheese for every follower.
Threaten me with a good time.
It started with like 10 and he woke up the next day and he had like 30. And the day after that, he had like 35,000.
Maybe we should do that. I'm still doing the
Can
one.
Can you imagine? Well, Can you I know. Imagine Dan, eating 35,000 slices?
I'm in the middle of that challenge right now. I'm doing one beer per follower, and I'm only a couple hundred in right now.
That's bad.
I'm spacing it out. I got my whole life.
Episode 197, Pete died.
Intervention. good stuff.
No, it's fun. If you're into that sort of thing, go check it out. It's pretty fun.
Let's talk about an oldie but goodie. This week in the Joinery Podcast.
Oh my goodness, this is a still thing.
I think that's their theme song. I don't know. I just Googled Joinery Podcast. That's what came up. But anyways, I didn't listen this week. But Nick Bring listened to it, and he apparently Ben used to work for Disney World. That's crazy. And he watched Tinkerbell zipline down into a mattress. I'm going to leave it at that. I don't know. And then Luke apparently discovered dessert pickles, which is bread and butter pickles, which are amazing.
Bro. Bread and butter pickles.
Yeah.
Are the shiznit.
Yeah. That's like that's what you put They're on burgers, amazing. Everything. That's the go-to. Yeah, absolutely.
Yes.
Bread and butter pickles, are the best.
Inferior.
I'm not a dill pickler, man. I like bread and butter. I like
we got that sorted.
I'm a pickle guy, ladies. Anyways.
All right.
Anyways, let's just on the way out, let's out of the segment, let's play the Joinery Podcast theme again. Okay. So, let us know if you guys enjoy the segments and the sound effects. Please. We're laughing for no reason. Don't worry about it. Dan, what's on your bed? Oh, actually, wait. I should wait. Dan,
what's on my bench? We should have done this a long time ago. I'm already like three quarters of a drink in.
Four questions to answer.
Oh my goodness. I'm gonna need a pee break in here somewhere.
Okay, we can always pause it if anything. All
right. Yeah. Hey. The listeners won't know if we pause, right?
We may have paused right there. You don't know.
You really
see,
don't.
See, we just, through the power of editing.
Every freaking week, I tell you all about my Etsy orders. And I don't go into detail.
Dan quit Etsy. Okay,
no, put that in there. That's not what I'm saying. It's not what I'm saying at all. However, in the last couple weeks, I feel like my smaller furniture listings, my tables and such, have absolutely exploded. And that's both good and bad. It's good in the fact that my checking account loves it.
Ayo.
It's bad in the fact that my calendar is like, what is your problem, dude? What are you trying to do? You trying to kill me? So in the last couple weeks, I've got four tables and three bar stools, and the list just keeps counting. It's insane. I have no idea how I'm going to be able to keep up with this stuff. So when I list my items on Etsy, I'm like, it'd be great if I could sell these things eventually. And then they sell. And then they sell. And then they sell. And then they sell. And I'm like, oh my goodness. I have to make all these things and the inserts and the bow ties. And so, yeah, I have no idea what I'm going to do. I'm taking off my glasses.
But it's good. You're caught up on all your delayed orders.
I haven't got to that far.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah.
Yes, actually.
Spoiler alert.
I'm actually caught up on all my delayed orders. I've had a lot of overdue orders in the last like week or two. I think one of the things that I was showing people at WorkbenchCon was all my overdue orders. I wasn't showing them because I'm proud of the overdue orders. I was showing those to people because, like, I was like, I shouldn't be here. I should be at home because I have too much to do to be here. But here I am. I'm doing the WorkbenchCon thing. So, I'm actually caught up on those. That is a zero now. I'm fully caught up. And it that actually feels really, really good. I'm gonna be completely honest. It feels fantastic. As far as my shop goes, I had another local woodworker show up.
Not Braden again. Name,
no, not Braden. Oh. His name is Carrie from Kindler. I want to say Kindler Woodworks. I have no idea.
We'll bang it.
But
later.
He wanted a very custom juice groove put into his cutting board that he was making for a client. And he messaged me and I was like, yeah, come on over, bro. I'll take care of you. So we hooked him up. I got it cut out. It was super nice and he was appreciative. He's like, what do I owe you? I was like, nothing. If you want to send me a six pack of beer, that'd be great. I'm not super picky. If you listen to the podcast, I like to take care of local people as much as I can. you know, within reason, if you have like a crazy amount of work, it's not going to be free. But if you have something simple like a juice groove and a cutting board, I'm going to do it for you for quote unquote free for like a six pack of beer. Because I feel like I've been super blessed with opportunities and stuff because of social media. So I like to take care of local people. So
yeah, that's awesome.
We're recording this on Thursday. So I think, and I'm going to put Braden and Nick under the bus here. I think Braden and Nick are coming over here on Saturday.
To clean up your life?
To clean up my life, clean up my shop. Organize my life, do all the things. And, bro, it needs it so bad. It's so
bad. What? Your shop? No, that's crazy.
My shop is so bad.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
You already beat me to the punch of like the last item on my list. I'm all caught up on my overdue Etsy orders.
Dude, that's actually crazy. You had pages of overdue orders.
Pages. The fact that you're
caught up. So what's your queue looking like now? Like how many orders actively have right now?
Hold on.
He's got to check and we're stalling.
Stolen 59.
Damn, dude.
But none of them are overdue right now.
No, but I respect the hell out of that. That's a good number to have of like orders you have to fulfill. I'm excited when I have 10 orders sitting there. Like that's
I have no idea. I have no idea how I found myself in this like realm of Etsy orders.
You're right. You don't deserve it. You're right.
I really don't.
No.
I have no idea. I don't know what I did. I have no idea.
You follow the golden rule, which is ABL, always be listing. You're always listing.
I did that for a while, but I haven't listed anything new in a long time.
I know, but you're still you've got a good catalog. Because here's the thing, I have a massive catalog. I have a catalog of stuff. I have barely added new things. Things are still selling.
If I had double that, I
would have double the orders of just things coasting in.
My Etsy catalog is 108 items.
That's awesome. I'm at like 80, 70, 70, something like that. Yeah, so, no, nice work, Dan. I'm fucking proud of you, man. Oh, cursed. I should probably take that out there. Leaning into it. Whatever. It's staying in.
I do what I can. It's a little of this, a little of that.
Dude, you're killing it. You had the best year ever on just Etsy alone, and then you did stuff on the side on top of it.
Yes, I feel bad about like complaining a little bit because I realize a lot of people are like, "Oh gosh, I wish I could have that," and I feel a little bad about being like overwhelmed or whatever. However, I realize that a lot of people would like kill for the success that I've had or whatever. So it's kind of a little of this, a little of that. I don't know how to feel.
Dude, you're succeeding. Listen, all of this that we do, it's not easy. It's like, let's be real. It's a lot of work. It's the whole classic.
It's
like,
not easy. It's stressful.
If you do what you love, you'll never work a day in your life. That's BS. If you do what you love, you work 7 days a week.
That's so BS.
It's so BS. You'll work every freaking day of your life. And you know, I was talking with Keith about it this week, about like, you know, like when does the fun part get here? Like we're in the fun part. We're enjoying ourselves, but we're also putting in work.
What is that famous quote of Andy from The Office? How do I know when I'm in the good old days?
Oh, yes.
After I'm out of the good old days or whatever it is. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yes, I know exactly what you're talking about. And it's true. Like, how do you know that you're in the good old days?
Yes.
Like this is the good old days. You know? Like, right now we're crushing and everything. And then one day we could just be, like, tired and exhausted. But, wait, Dan. Well, Dan's... Throw it to me. Dan's about to go to the bathroom. Throw it to me.
Pete, tell me about what's on your bench.
Thanks, Dan. He just like starts like, yeah, I'm going to go to the bathroom. All right. So I had a crazy of a week. We didn't even get a guest on because we've just both been super busy. He's been cashing up on all the orders. And I've been essentially, my shop's been a mess. Every single surface has been covered with something, but it wasn't like it's just a mess for no reason. It was a mess because like every part of the shop was being used. I was lasering stuff for Etsy orders. The CNC was being a very, very good table. Good table CNC. Fortunately, because I'm not cutting anything on a CNC right now, but I needed it for storage. So Keith was in my shop this whole week because I was going to spray some paint. Things got delayed or whatever, so I didn't end up spraying it. But I had all the spraying stuff out, and I had the plastic wrap kind of on all the walls and the one section of my shop where I have room to spray. So Keith came over and was working on a Tiger Maple cabinet, the video that he dropped last week, or three weeks ago at this point, right around Workbench Con. So he's been working on his Tiger Maple cabinet, and even in the video, he talks about how he had to try to do a different finish on it. So we ended up coming over and spraying it in my shop. It's climate controlled. We got a couple coats on there. We did some testing. And, you know, I got to say, though, it was really refreshing. Not refreshing. I felt bad because he was struggling with it. Like he had an issue with one gun. So he brought a different HVL sprayer over and sprayed with that and even tried my own. We're spraying one type of finish. It was the Gemini coatings. And then we ended up going with the General Finishes gloss. And this is, you know, Keith Johnson. He's a friend of mine. Like, we're really close. We live close to each other. I still hold him in very high regard. Like, he is a furniture maker through and through. This guy does not cut corners. And to watch him struggle with this finish was really, like, it humanized him even more that like he struggles with it too. You know, like even these famous YouTubers, people that seem like they've got everything figured out, like they work on this. They figure it out. They have mistakes. So he was working really hard to get this finish just right. We tried different guns. We tried different viscosity, like thicknesses of like how many coats we were putting down or how thick of a spray. And he eventually figured it out. We got everything coated. It's actually the Tiger Maple cabinet is in my former dining room right now. So Keith is going to pick that up on Monday and deliver it for the install. But again, it was really refreshing. Again, and I feel weird saying refreshing, but like it was really eye-opening to see a professional furniture maker / Whoa. Very well-known YouTuber, calm down, man, struggle with a part of their process, like the finish, something like as simple and difficult as a finish, because finishing always intimidated the heck out of me. And I'm glad that he worked it out. I'm glad that I was there to watch the whole process and watch him go through like how to get that perfect finish, exactly what he's looking for, exactly what the client's looking for. So it's been useful. And then, so while he was in a shop, I was working on a kitchen island. So I ended up brushing on all the paint on all the face frames and basically just the face frames and the edges of the cabinets. We're going to end up spraying all the side panels and the drawer fronts once we make those this week or at this point next week. But so I didn't end up spraying any of it, but he helped me. I've never actually used Blum undermount drawer slides, which are like really nice. I've always just used, you know, like the generic, like everyone gets those like really nice drawer slides, or nice, the medium grade drawer slides that you get from Home Depot or the you can get them mount. Online. The side mount, you know, the ball bearing, they're still nice. Some of them are soft closed.
They're okay.
They're great. Listen, they're way better than what my kitchen has because it has those like rolling like IKEA ones. And the worst pet peeve, first thing that Emma notices when she tried the new drawers out, she goes, they open all the way.
Bro,
like, yeah, like
all the drawers in my kitchen currently are from the early 90s.
Yeah, they open like all 2/3 of the way, and in the last section, like you, I hope there's nothing back there. You know, you just gotta like.
I hate to say this, but I have been watching your island build closely because one of these days, I am going to do the same thing.
Dan, I remember when Kayla added the kitchen remodel to your list like 80 episodes ago.
Yeah, it's been a while.
It's not that easy. Here's the thing. I started this project in February. Uh-huh. Actually, no, at the end of January. Like, so all of February, all of March, now it's going to go into April. Now, here's the thing. The island is in the kitchen. The island's in the kitchen.
I haven't even talked about this. We're talking about like honey-do lists that have like,
yeah. Oh, what did you
have
do?
Grown over time. So not only do I have to rebuild the kitchen someday, one of these days, but If you go back far enough in my Instagram posts, you can see where I built a bunk bed for my daughter. I built that bunk bed for my daughter when she was 7 years old. She's now 16. She doesn't want a bunk bed. 2 days ago, she asked me if I could build her a modernish full bed. And I was like, yeah, absolutely. And my wife is like, oh, if you can't do it, if you don't have time, we can go to like Target or IKEA or something. I was like, no.
I'm going to prove a point. Well, Dan, don't you have plans for like collapsible type
bed frame? I do. However, my daughter sent me some Pinterest photos, quote unquote. I'm doing the air quotes with my hands. Of beds that she wants. I could do it. I can do it. It's a matter of like timing. So I have to find the time. So here we are. Yay.
Dude, you'll figure it out. You'll work it in there. Honestly, yeah. You got to start looking for some shop help again.
Tell that to my wife, would you?
Yeah, well, you got to.
I may or may not be hiring somebody for the summer.
We'll see.
That's coming up. That's coming up.
Is it John? That's
in the future. It's in the future.
Is it your son?
No.
Oh.
I know a high school kid that wants like some summer work, but he doesn't want to be like constrained to like a schedule because he's
tied down to a relationship
and stuff.
Boys, and am I right? Like,
bro, I got you. If you want to come and work with me, I'll pay you like $10 an hour. So,
that's good. Oh, I'm looking forward to you having some help.
We'll see. I'm not.
I know, but it'd be nice.
I'm not saying anything one way or the other, but that's like out there, and we're gonna see if
hiring teenagers literally moves the economy. Let's be real. Like that's how kids learn to not be little.
That's how I used to live on cheeseburgers,
dude. If kids don't work in like a hardy job, like doing some kind of menial labor, but
right.
or retail, they grew up to just be heads. You know, like they need a little bit of something in there.
The beauty of this is like I know this kid. It's not just some random teenager. Yeah. I know this kid. He's actually been in some of my content like a couple years ago.
Is it Nick Brim?
No, it's not Nick
Brim. It's not he does look older.
So I'm not going into this blind, so it should be okay.
But yeah, every teenager needs to put in some work at a rough job.
Right.
Something that when they're in their 30s, they're drinking with their buddies like, oh, I also worked at Panera. Yeah, it was crazy, wasn't it?
Talk about the time when I worked for a landscaping company when I was 15. So
It builds character. You know, it's like it's the low key version of like going to the military. But right. Where'd you serve? Wendy's? Oh, nice. What branch? McDonald's? You know, like that. Listen, if you worked in a fast food industry, you served. No offense to our armed forces, that's on a different level. But
dude,
like,
I'm not arguing.
Yeah,
I've seen all the Karens out there. I've seen not all.
Working at a number. Chick-fil-A is the equivalent of like your National Guard, right? Okay, so like I'm gonna make some people really mad right now. I'm kidding. I'm so kidding. I respect all the armed forces.
He's kidding, but he's like 50%.
But also, like, I'm from Poland. What are you gonna do to me? No. I keep backpedaling and I'm making jokes. This is really bad. But all kids should have crappy jobs. That's all I'm going to say. My daughter, one day, I'm going to make sure she does at least a little bit of crappy work.
My daughter, actually, her first job was a para at summer school with my wife. My wife's a teacher. My wife is a special ed teacher. And last year, she did summer school for the local district. First time ever. My wife has been teaching for 18 years. And this is the first time she ever did summer school because they ask her every single year. And she's like, no.
Nope. I want summer.
Absolutely not. But this year or the past year, she was like, yeah, I'll do it. If you hire my daughter, who was 14 at the time, as a para. And they agreed to it.
Opera is basically an assistant or
a teacher assistant.
Teacher's aide.
Absolutely. Yeah. So that happened last year. It's happening again this year.
Oh,
they've
cool.
already agreed to it. They've already like got my daughter's application or whatever. So it's nice to have a little inside track, nepotism or whatever you want to call it. So that's my daughter's.
It's nepotism into a rough job. It's not nepotism. You're not going to be the manager of a bank now or something.
My wife has stories that would make you question your life.
Didn't she get bit today?
2 days ago, she got bit. She got headbutted, and she got kicked. Yeah, and one of her paras got a bloody nose.
Listen.
Same day.
Bless anyone that would like works in like special education. Yeah. You guys are little miracle workers.
My wife doesn't like me to talk about these things in detail, so I'll just leave it at that.
She doesn't listen to this. No, your wife does, man, it's incredible. It's crazy.
I always like to tell people I'm a live-in case study. My wife is a special education teacher.
She's a special education wife. Oh, geez.
But you know what? She is a freaking saint.
She's an angel.
Absolutely. I couldn't do it.
She's doing the Lord's work.
I couldn't do it.
Anyway. What was I talking about?
I have no idea.
Keith. Kitchen Island drawer slides. Oh, undermount drawer slides.
Undermount drawer slides.
Yeah, dude.
Special education.
Here's the thing. I made these drawers like 2 weeks ago or something like that. And I was like, as I'm making them, I go, this is the first time I've made hardwood drawers. Like I've always ever made poplar, pine, or plywood. The three P's, you know, like I've only made drawers out of that. And this time, like I'm doing this, they're undermount. They're super nice and fancy. And like in the finish, I worked really hard to get that finish just perfect. And it just felt like, man, like this is the first time I made like drawers look better than some of the furniture I used to make back in the day. Like my drawers are sprayed better than the tables I've made and like when I was starting out.
You're giving a lot of credit to your furniture.
Oh, thanks, bud. All right. Smartass. But no, it's just really, it feels good to do like, you know, do right by like essentially I had a lot of steps that I was going to just kind of do. I don't want to say half-assed, but like just do it. So it's like functional, it's hardy, it's going to last, but no one's going to see this. And then Keith has been a really bad influence because he keeps hitting me with like, you should really do this. Well, great. Now I'm ordering $180 of undermount slides. Yeah. And I'm using
Mr. Frickin' YouTube that has money coming out.
And I'm doing hard maple, you know, drawers, which I guess I was going to do anyways. But I was thinking about poplar. Doesn't matter. And then I was going to do the drawer fronts like really simple and everything. He's like, oh, you should do it this way. I'm like, I hate you because this makes sense. Now I have to do it. Now it's more work. So there's that whole thing. So one thing that I ran into as a problem, not a problem. I bought the Graco X5 sprayer and it's a sprayer.
Is that the one that has the intake?
Yeah. You like
directly into a 5 gallon bucket.
Yes. So what they don't tell you out of the gate is that like just to start spraying, you have to prime the machine. So you need two buckets of water.
Yes.
And you got to like put one in one and like get the pressure build up through the system. And then you stick it into paint. And then like, as soon as you start spraying paint into the other bucket, you're done. And then change it over to the main system and you're ready to spray.
Right.
There's a little bit of waste. There's a lot of setup and cleanup. Not a whole ton, but like if you're just spraying some cabinets, it's a lot of work. And here's the thing.
That system is good if you're putting that into 5 gallon buckets and not 1 gallon bucket.
Honestly, even a 1 gallon, if I'm using the whole gallon in one shot, right? But when you're spraying cabinets or whatever, like you might use half, you might use 3/4. It might not be all at once. Like I don't want to just drop it in a bucket because then how do you seal it if you have to wait between 4 hours between coats? what do you do, right? Like, it's you know. Like, exactly. So it's that whole pain in the butt. So I jokingly said when I got the thing, I was like, what is medium-sized projects, guys? Like, this is so silly. Like, I get what medium-sized projects are. It's when you, this is beyond a small-sized project. Mm-hmm. Like, you're doing a garage door. You're doing a shed. You're spraying the deck and fit, like, with a, you know,
yeah,
armor seal, whatever. Like, you're spraying on your deck. Like, if you were spraying a whole gallon to 5 gallons, it makes sense. So the thing right. is, $300 is not bad for a sprayer. I'm keeping it. I'm just putting it in the basement.
Oh, it's a great sprayer.
I'm going to use it.
I bought that sprayer. I bought the sprayer for the 5 gallon bucket version. Mm-hmm. I don't know the numbers. When I put my first house on the market, mm-hmm. it's the house that I bought in 2001. I sold it in 2017. We bought that sprayer and we sprayed the entire outside of the house in 30 minutes.
Dude, it's great. It lays down good material. It's airless, so you're not getting a ton yes. of overspray. Everything coming out is paint.
Yes.
So
but if you're not doing a large volume of paint with that sprayer, it's worthless to you.
I know. But like, so here's the thing. First of all, I missed the window in returning it. Once I started learning from people, actually at Workbench Gone, I was talking to people like, hey, yeah, you should try this one. You should try this one. And they recommended some of the other Graco ones that they have. Mm-hmm. Apparently the return window on this thing was 60 days. So it was past it.
Really?
Yeah. Instead of 90. So I was like, all right, whatever. It's $300. It's still a lot of money, but at the same time, like, I will use it. This will be spraying my basement, my new deck, like the shed one day. Like, I'm going to use it. $300. I can eat that cost. Okay.
You can justify the purchase.
I can justify the purchase, right? Every bit of research that I was looking at is pointing me towards the Graco Quick Shot. It's a little like handheld. Like, with the bucket is loaded from the top, like, you just pour in the paint. It's handheld. It's DeWalt battery powered. And it has a 6-foot hose to a electronic engaged spray gun. Like, very, very accurate presses. It's not pressure. It's electronic. So you click it, start spraying. As soon as you let go, stops. So you get very clean paint jobs with it. It's $1,500.
I got one better for you.
It's a lot. But I'm like, maybe.
It's a lot. The Graco True 360 at Menards is $270.
What's
it's fantastic?
What's the True 60?
True 360.
Oh, 360. Okay, send me a link to it.
Yeah, it's got a cup that on the bottom of it that you have to put on it. It's one of those. Vacuum sealed cups that it kind of mimics a baby's bottle, like it sucks yeah, out yeah, it all sucks the air.
Out. Oh, one of those, and it's a battery. Oh, sorry, it's a plug-in.
It's not battery. It's plug-in.
Yep.
The battery powers are quite a bit more, but I use that Graco True 360. It's like $270.
Yeah,
fantastic.
For the
little bit amount of. Spray painting that I do.
So here's the thing. If I was doing just this one cabinet, I would have already bought that because I just looked it up. It's one of the ones I would looked at already.
Yeah. Fantastic.
The thing is, I'm already like, this is just the drawer fronts and the side panels. We're redoing our entire kitchen. I will be spraying the laundry room when we make the cabinets for that, including the walls.
It'll last you. If you clean it.
Oh, of course. But we're doing the laundry room walls. I want to spray them. The laundry room cabinets. The entire basement is going to be getting framed out in the next year. And drywall going up. And I want to spray it. And I'm not opposed to one of these. These are great. The thing is, all the weight is in your hand.
So it's actually not that bad. It's not that bad.
I know, but the bougie part of me is like...
I swear to you, it's not that bad.
It makes it worth it for me to possibly look into just doing like the system where the can is essentially in your hand or in a belt clip and spraying it.
No.
Because the result... Like, everyone I talk to that has one raves about it, and I kind of really want it. Now, granted, here's the thing. I can't afford it right now. Like, the long story short, I can't afford it.
Buy the cheaper one. You're going to be fine.
Actually, what I'm going to do is right now, I'm going to be trying to spray this paint through my HVLP by thinning it just a little bit. I know, but
you're not going to like that.
I never sprayed paint through it. I kept dismissing it, and then I realized, like, I've never tried it. Why am I not trying it? You know, sometimes you jump to like the top shelf solution. But basically, my whole point is I was jumping to top shelf solution, like $1,500. Yeah, you know what? It's going to be worth it. I'll justify it. Like, that's freaking crazy. That's insane. Okay. Like, you can buy a lot of tools for the $1,500.
Yeah,
but I already have an HVLP. Maybe I just thin that paint a little bit, do a couple extra coats. Maybe I spray it.
You know what?
Or I go with the option that Dan said, the 360. You know, that might be a good option too.
You know what? Do it. Do the HVLP and thin down your paint. And I'm going to be here, arms crossed on the desk, and be like,
Here's the thing, Dan. Like, I've never tried it. I've never failed.
Yo, bro.
You got to try it at some point.
Try it.
Dan's basically telling me that it's going to fail. He's going to be here.
I'm not telling you it's going to fail. I'm telling you to try it. I want you to experience that for yourself.
I'd rather do an airless.
I'm not saying it's going to fail. I'm just saying that the odds are against you.
You're going to have a bad time. But
you're going to have a bad time.
And here's the thing. I need to know what that is like for me to, in the future, be like firm. Like, if when I have a serious, important project, I gotta try it.
I've been down that road. I understand. I've had people say, no, don't do it that way. The other way is bad. And I'm like, no, I'm gonna do it the bad way.
Dude,
I also talk
painting accounts that I've been following recently, like cabinet makers, but they mainly handle painting and finishing. Uh-huh. The advice they gave me, like, one of them was, ZK painting. Oh, I'm blanking on her name. I'll try to look it up. All he does is finishing, and he gave me a great tip. He goes, I literally warm up my paint in a crock pot before I spray it. Because when it's warm, you don't have to thin it. You just straight up spray it. And it sprays great. You don't have to worry about it, you know, thinning anything like that. I'm like, I didn't even know that was an option. I didn't even know that was a thing. You know, like, heating up your paint, that's something you can do. You don't learn this stuff until you talk to people that do it. And that's just one example of trying and failing. Like, this guy literally uses a crock pot when he's spraying a lot of it. And then Keith was like, yeah, I'll put it into the little bucket thing and then I'll put it into hot water. Or he'll take the HVLP can, like, you know, the bottom that sticks out with the can. Uh-huh. And he's like, I'll just put it in a bucket of hot water and let it sit for a little bit. And then I'll go spray it. I'm like, I didn't even know that was a solution. So if you're thinking about spraying paint, try that. Why not? What's the worst that can happen? And also do sample pieces.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was going to say. If you're thinking about spraying anything, do samples.
Yep.
Bottom line.
Do samples. Absolutely. I sprayed so many samples or rolled so many samples with paint. Keith did the same thing with the finishing that he was doing. You know what? A little piece of maple, if you've got all maple cabinets, like, it's okay to spray a little piece of maple and just toss it in the trash afterwards. Guys, it's okay. You don't have to make a cutting board out of it.
Oh, the internet's going to be so
mad. Oh, I'm sorry, Dan. You could throw it in a fire pit. I'm sorry.
Oh, I do that every day.
With paint.
Did you not see my reel today?
No, I didn't. Did you burn more stuff?
Yeah, I took a 6x6 piece of walnut and I just threw it in the fire. That was my reel today.
All right. Well, anyways, my what's on a bench, like, we kind of went off the rails here. The island's coming along. It's in the kitchen, just like the top's on it because we had some people coming over today, but like, still has to get work done, get secured, electrical run, drawer fronts, and then everything mounted. Because guess what? The top, it cupped. So that's another thing I got to deal with.
Really?
So we're going to secure it, let it settle for a bit. In a couple weeks, tighten it down more, get it flatter, whatever. We'll see. But aside from that, I got the ice climbing tools. I got more of the pieces for a different model that came in this week. So that's going to be more stuff.
I saw that in your story. I was wondering what the heck was going on there.
1-inch Baltic birch just looks unreal in your hand. Like, it's so thick. Like, plywood shouldn't be an inch thick.
The design looked completely different.
It's different because it gets this little like leather BDSM strap to the top of it.
Oh,
I don't know what that stands for, those letters, but yeah. It's the daddy model. You have to say daddy when you use it. Anyways, daddy. I'll do more content around when I'm routing them and cleaning them up and stuff like that. And then I'll talk about the YouTube video when Patrick asks this question, because we'll get to that. So why don't we get into the actual questions, please. Dan? So I guess this is the one for questions. No, wait, that's bench. Wait.
Oh, Black Betty. Ram-a-lam.
There we go.
There it is.
That's the one. All right, so why don't we get into questions? Sarah from Rosie's Woodshop called in with one.
Okay, I will ask a question. I'm starting to sign up for craft shows again. And do I just do all my inventory or do I start making a lot of stuff again? I don't really want to be sitting on a ton of inventory. I have 4 shows coming up. Well, really not coming up. It's in like May, but I'm like organizing everything now for it just to be prepared. I may sign up for an earlier one, but what do you think? Should I make more? I have a lot. Like, I'll know after tomorrow when I like go through everything, but like I should be good. But if I sign up for more, like, you know, I'll probably do. I might need some more stuff. So what do you guys think? I know, Peter, you do. No, both of you guys do craft shows. Okay, this is really long now. Bye.
Sarah.
Dan.
Do all the things. If you have a huge inventory, take that with you to the craft fair. You have no idea how that craft fair is going to play out. You really don't. And you don't want to come up short. That has always been my motto. Like, I have been to craft fairs and I have felt like I've showed up and I haven't had enough. You can't have too much at a craft fair. So take all your inventory and build up your inventory for the craft fair. Especially considering the fact that you have mentioned that you have multiple craft fairs that you're going to do. Take everything for the first one and then build up and keep that inventory up for the subsequent. Thank you, Pete.
As opposed to domsequent.
Subsequent. Craft fairs that you have coming up. That's my short and sweet advice. Pete?
Well, let me tell you why Dan's wrong. So,
oh, okay.
So Sarah is in many ways like me and you, Dan, which is she's
male?
No. Like us, she's all over the place. She has she has a lot of inventory. And I don't mean a lot of each thing, just a lot of very different things, which is a good thing. It's like, it works in your favor. Absolutely. So I agree with Dan on that one side. So like it's really nice when somebody walks up to you and they see a lot of variety. It's not just cutting boards and like turn pens or cutting boards and whiskey smokers. And that's it. Like, cause cutting boards is, let's be real, that's a bread and butter. Like that's just, they're there. Like that's, you don't want it just to be cutting boards.
On an aside, Brayden and I have been talking about this because we do craft fairs together. I think he signed up for a craft fair this coming April sometime, and I'm going to join him. And we've talked about the fact that we're not going to take cutting boards. No. We're going to do things that are, you know, not cutting boards. So, the world is your oyster.
So I'll go back.
You don't have to take cutting boards. You don't have to take cutting boards is what I'm saying.
So back to my original statement. This is why Dan's wrong. No, but like the thing is, most of us have cutting boards in some capacity as just like the filler or the eye candy from far away because it's a big item. Like it catches people sometimes. Yeah.
I won't disagree. It's eye candy.
That being said, I think having a variety of items is good, but also, having a core or niche set of items that you have multiples of or variety of or some kind of multiple customizations of, whether it's a laser cut item or different ornaments or whiskey smokers of different like state shapes, like whatever your specialty, whatever it might be, right? I think it's really good to have a lot of range so people go over like, oh, do you turn pens? You do. Cool. Can you make one blank? And then you got a sale that's post show, right? Or like you see a cutting board, like, do you have something this size? You can make one. Oh, really? Okay, cool. Like you get
here's
like
my card.
Here's my card. Exactly. So they're great, like getting your foot in a door. But for the customers that are just there for the day of, they're just looking for the items on your table. It's good to have something that you have a variety of in a niche. You know, whether it is cutting boards, whether it is pens, whether it is, charcuterie boards or whatever.
Whiskey smokers.
It's nice to have an inventory, but I mean multiple versions of or customization of an item, and not just like two pens, three cutting boards, five whiskey smokers, seven bathroom signs, I mean, it's good to have like a variety of stuff, but at some point you want to have a lot of a certain thing. That's just what I think. I always have like a core thing. Now, Dan, do you have anything else to add?
I'm going to add something to this.
Oh, here we go again.
Because I have been thinking about this a lot since last year, and I have recently signed up for Hamilton Delbecq's CNC with me.
Love that guy.
I don't know what he calls it, his group or whatever. It's
his closed community.
I think I paid $99 for the entire year. It's a phenomenal resource. Hamilton Delbecq is an amazing creator. But with that comes some CNC files and ideas that are great for craft fairs. And one of the things that I like to do at craft fairs is anything that you can demonstrate at a craft
fair. Oh, that's a good one too.
Will sell. The whiskey smokers are a big thing because not only can you demonstrate them if you are in the right space, not only can you demonstrate them, but they have like a visual effect with the smoke going down and everything, and people are like,
yeah.
So this year I think I'm going to add one of the things that Hamilton's class has contributed is these things called one trippers, which are these super easy hooks to keep in your car, in like your trunk, whenever you're going grocery shopping. Mm-hmm. And you can hook all of your grocery bags onto these hooks, and they have a handle on them. If you're not watching the video that we have on YouTube, you're not seeing me make the gestures.
Just him thrusting his fist forward and back. It's
really just
like he's a politician thrusting. Giving a speech.
So these things are fantastic. You can hook all your grocery bags on these items, and then you have a singular handle where you can like take everything inside. And I think that is a great item, not only because like it sounds good in theory, but when you think about it, it's really easily shown to people. So when Braden and I do a craft fair this coming spring, whenever the hell it is, I'm gonna take one of those things and I'm gonna hang it up on the wall, and I'm gonna have bags hanging from it so people can visualize exactly what it does and what it is.
I like that. It's good. And it's
people will buy things that they can understand and they can visualize how they can be used.
Yeah, that's a good point. Setting up a demo, not necessarily an active one where you're having to burn or whatever. A static demo, something showing off the use of something. And like we did it for the holidays. We had like the Santa, like the milk, the cookies, the carrots, whatever. Oh, yeah. And like we had a carrot with a bite taken out of it. Uh-huh. And like we had milk that was drank, a cookie that had a bite taken out of that too.
I bet those sold really well.
They did. And like, exactly. You know, it's a nice static demo. You don't have to actually actively keep showing
people it. People like to be able to,
People, yeah, imagine
you want to think that people can visualize that stuff, but they can't.
Yeah.
In general, they cannot. So you need to help them visualize that stuff. Absolutely.
Absolutely.
That's all I got.
That's it. That's a good one. It's a good one. All right. Next question is from, who is this? This might be Braden. I don't know. We'll see.
What's up, guys? It's Braden from Little Bug Woodworking. I got to say, I just love it when the girls get together and just gab. So really enjoying this. My question tonight is actually for both of you. I've been getting super into Helldivers 2 recently, and I was hoping you guys could help me work on my loadout. What would you guys suggest for stratagems? Hope you guys have a good show. Talk to you later. Bye.
I'm checking out.
Dan, you got anything?
I have nothing. I have nothing.
You don't play Helldivers?
No.
What if that is?
I have no idea.
I don't know what Brayden's talking about. I don't really play a lot of video games.
Listen,
a Helldivers game sounds like you dive into hell and like maybe you have some like things to use. Some make up like a loadout that I would use, like I'd probably go in with an Eagle 500 kilogram bomb, an orbital laser probably, because it's a space thing, right? So orbital lasers exist. And then like definitely not an FM, but an AM-12 mortar sentry. Like it just drops mortars on your enemies. I'm just imagining here, right? Like you don't want FM, you want AM, you want NPR, right? And then a GR7? No, probably a GR8 recoilless rifle, because you don't want recoil on a rifle, right? It's actually, here's the funny thing.
That makes sense.
I'm imagining that it's not a rifle. It's actually a rocket launcher, but they just call it a rifle. But what do I know? I don't know. I don't play this game. So I wouldn't really. So yeah, it's just like four things that I imagined that would exist that I might use if I were to play this game. But I I've never played this. What is it? Well Divers? Is it like a plumbing game?
Yeah, it's a plumbing game. It's a shortened version of it. It's called Mario Brothers.
Mario Brothers Well Divers. Like, that's actually brilliant. Just Mario 3 Well Divers. so dumb. But full disclosure, me and Braden have actually been playing quite a bit of Helldivers. I've been trying to get better with working in. I enjoy playing video games, as does Dan, right? And I play
one video game.
That's fine. No, that's okay. You can, dude. I know people that have been playing Animal Crossings for 4 years. That's all they play.
Nerds.
Like one. I know, right? Losers. get a job. But anyways, so like I'm all for playing video games or whatever your hobby is. It could be golf, like. And actually, I saw a great video the other day that explained it really well. If you go to play golf, and like your wife knows you play golf, and she's okay with it, if you leave the house for 4 to 5 hours, that's fine. But if you play video games in a living room for 4 to 5 hours, suddenly you're a piece of crap. Like, what? That's a double standard.
Don't like that.
Right? Like, that's just not right. I'm just saying.
Don't like it.
But anyways, I try to make, I've been getting better with it the last couple of months. I make time in my week, not every day, but like in my week to play video games, because that's something I enjoy. And you know what? We work too damn hard, as all of us, everyone listening to this podcast, we work too damn hard. We work a full-time job, probably get in a shop, which is stress about our content, about the products we sell, client bills, family, kids, sports, all this stuff. And then like, we need some time to relax. So whatever you enjoy to, whatever the thing is that you enjoy, do it. Do it on the side.
Yes, sir.
And make sure that your significant other understands that, like, this isn't just like you're ignoring the family. Like, I need some alone time. I would love this. This is great. I want to play with my friends. And if that's okay with you, cool. Keep the kids away. Whatever. Because I'm also enjoying this while I have no kids for the next 4 months. And we'll see how it goes after that. But I've been playing a lot with Braden and actually Trevor. Yeah, from Trevor. We met him at Workbench Con, so I'm playing with him as well. I'm hoping to play more with Dan at some point.
No, absolutely not.
A girl can dream, right? But yeah, make some time for the things that you enjoy, because you work too damn hard.
I couldn't agree more with the fact that you work too damn hard. Make time for the things you enjoy.
Yeah.
I work. So here's my day. I'm gonna let y'all in, you know,
here it goes.
I wake up at 6:30, help my kids get together for the morning. Actually, they don't need anything these days. They're very self-sufficient. So I might wake up at 7, I might wake up at 7:15 or whatever. But I help my children get to school, mostly my son these days. I take him to school. I come home. I typically have a crate of things that need to go to the post office. I'll wait a few minutes because the post office doesn't open until 8:30 here in Bellevue, Nebraska. So I'll wait. I'll do a few administrative things. I'll take my post office crate to the post office, drop it off, come home, do some work, and then I'll have a lunchtime hour for myself between 12:30 and 1. I'll have a little lunch, and then I'll go in and I'll play GTA 5 during my lunch hour because I feel like it's necessary to let ourselves go a little bit. If you're just working constantly, and I know the trope is, or the norm thinking is, you know, if you have a small business, you just gotta work. That is, I'm gonna tell you right now, that is bullshit. Okay, I have been self-employed since 2011. I haven't made it this far because I work my ass off 24/7. I've made it this far because I know there's a boundary. Absolutely boundary. So you can have time for your family. You can have time for yourself. And you can have time for your work. You have to set those boundaries. But the thing is, like, when it's you who's in charge, you're the one who has to set those boundaries.
Yeah.
You have to. If you're not, you know, things are just going to get out of hand. So I set those boundaries. And to this day, for my lunch hour, I will go in, I'll have a quick lunch, and I'll go play a little GTA.
I think that's totally healthy, man. Listen,
it's absolutely healthy. And I will fight anybody who says otherwise.
There's people that, like, on their lunch hour, they got to go have a cigarette or six.
No.
Well, there's worse habits out there. Like, when I worked at the peak of me working at a fruit-themed computer company, on lunch, I went out to this place called Joe's Bar and Grill, and it had a lunch special, and I would have my sliders. I would have a beer in the middle of my workday, a beer or two. Oh,
yeah. Occasionally, I'll have that.
Yeah, sometimes the bartender would be like, oh, you're back. What's going on? Hey, you want to try a shot? I'm like, oh, no, please don't. Okay.
No shots.
There's worse habits out there. Like, you can go inside into your home, play a game, turn your brain off for an hour, have a good time.
I think it's important.
And then go back and you're like, hey, let's do it.
It's not just okay. I feel like it's super important. It's really important. Because if you go back and you listen to a lot of these, so to speak, popular YouTubers and content creators and what have yous, they all talk about burnout. And why? Why do they talk about that stuff? Because they don't make time for themselves. I have been doing this since 2011, and I'm still going. Why? Because I make time for myself.
Absolutely.
And I make time for my family.
Absolutely. He's 100% correct. Because I burned out this week. I had Brayden messaged me every week to every day of this week to play. I played one day with him. It's Thursday. Yeah. And every single day I was like, I was working all day. And this week at work was busy working all day. And yeah, I work from home, but I'm like still exhausted, just mentally exhausted.
I'm not saying that I'm not working a lot sometimes, because sometimes my workflow dedicates that I do a lot, but I'm not doing that every day.
I know.
I'm not going to give myself to everything.
You're not supposed to do this every freaking day. You're supposed to work until you don't need to work. And then when you need to work again, you work again. Right. You know, like, so I worked my butt off this whole week. I and then Keith kept coming over, so I kept being in a shop. And I was all like all fired up. You know when the project's going well, you're just like, you just want to keep getting back to it.
Yeah.
And just keep knocking it out.
I know.
And then like, and then you do the thing, the concept that I was introduced to earlier this year or late last year on TikTok, which is like revenge relaxation, where like at the end of the night, you're like, I need to sit here for an hour or two and like consume junk food or drink or something. And like, this is my time to relax. You're like, you're exhausted. You want to go to bed. You want nothing more than to go to bed. Mm-hmm.
But I've been doing that a lot.
Force yourself to relax. And it's unhealthy. I get it.
A lot.
But like when you work too hard, that's what you end up doing.
That's one of the things that has helped me lose a little weight these last few weeks, because at the end of the night, late at night, I'm laying down and I feel like relaxed and my body's like, you need to go eat. You need to do this. And I'm like, you know what, sweetheart?
I'm going to go up to bed. Yeah, that's the thing. Most of the time would just be like, you know what?
Yeah. And I wake up in the morning, I'm like,
let me just eat a bag of Funyuns.
I wake up in the morning and I'm not hungry. It's not that I ate in the middle of the night. It's just that my mind had a little bit of time to reset.
Dude, and it's just a healthy thing to relax. To all the parents out there that are listening, there's one thing you're going to take away from this whole podcast. Remember the 10 minutes I talked about of useful information is normalize video games. Video games are just a form of entertainment, whether it's YouTube, whether it's reading a book. It's
no different than sitting in front of your TV and watching TGIF throughout the whole night.
Relaxing and focusing yourself on something that's so removed from reality, from the thing that you do every day, that it resets you. And it's really great.
Preach. I get into this argument all the time with my in-laws, because they freak out that my kids are on electronics all the time. And I'm like, at least their minds are engaged, right?
Yeah.
When we were their age on Friday night, we would just sit in front of the TV and just like mind numb and watch what was on the TV.
I hate to just keep quoting like TikTok videos that I see, but there's a new like video that's been going around, which is the concept of our boomer parents. No offense to parents out there, because there's our whole range, right?
Boomers. But screw them.
The middle of the road, all the boomer parents, they raise their kids as if they were pets. I fed you. I gave you a home. What else do you want? You should be doing everything I ask you to do. Like, that's not how it works, okay? And you need to be a parent. And you need to acknowledge that your kids have hobbies, they have interests, and you need to be engaged in that with them. And I'm not a parent. I'm saying this
yet.
I'm saying this from the receiving end of my parents, because I love my parents to death. But listen, they told me like one day, you know, you work every day and then one day you die. That's basically the concept that my parents brought me up with. You just work hard and then one day you don't have to work hard because you're dead. Like, and honestly, that is, you know what we call that, Dan?
Emotional damage.
I've been working towards that one all night. But like, Pete, that's the reality.
I want to take it back a little bit. Do you remember when our podcast was about woodworking and making? Remember that?
Not self-help books and shit.
This ain't Tony Robbins over here. Like, calm
but,
the F
but
down.
But here's the thing. Like, going back to the original point is we work. I love that there's a handle out there. It's 5 to 9 designs. I forget who it is. I'm blanking on the name. But it always hits me really close to home, because like that's the business that runs from when you clock out of work until you go to sleep every day. That's the concept of most of our businesses. It's the 5 to 9 designs. Right. We work our butts off after we clock out of working a full day. And I don't care if you work in a factory or you're working in front of a computer, you're a photographer, whatever.
Here's the thing. I want to backtrack a little bit.
Yeah. What's on your bench?
I feel like you and I have, we're a little bit privileged, slightly, right?
A white male with beard? I don't know.
Well, that, as well as the fact that, you know, not everybody has an established business, right? So people that have a fledgling business and they want to get it off the ground, yeah, it's going to take some time and you're going to have to put in the effort and it's going to freaking suck and you're going to give your life to it. But after a while,
it's still going to freaking suck, but you're going to be making money.
You're going to be making money. You don't have to give your whole life to it.
By the way, if there's anyone out there that's genuinely like working hard and you feel stuck in your business, reach out to Dan and I. Please do.
I'm going to give you bad advice, but yeah, reach out.
Damn it. Well, then reach out to both of us. Get the A and a B. Because here's the thing. Like, we're at different stages of our business, and whether you're full-time or not, like, it's good to hear the input of another person that's kind of going through a similar thing. And I think it's good for everyone. Like, I'm call to action for everyone. If you feel stuck in your business or you're a little overwhelmed, I had an amazing call this week with someone, another maker, another business person that's trying to figure out where their business is going. And it was a great call. And it was good for both of us for me to vent about, like, hey, here's all the BS you're going to deal with. And then them being like, I don't know what I'm doing. It's okay. Like, we're all trying to figure it out. There's no, like, here's the thing. This is not a video
game. I'm open to that.
Yes. It's not a video game where if you collect enough cutting boards, you're level 2. Like, that's not how it works. You know, that's not real life. It's a lot of
a tray. Is that worth something?
Dan, you're level 3, baby. Uh-oh. It's just like you don't know where you're going to be at. And we didn't mean for this question to get so deep in the answer.
I forget who asked this question.
I think it was Brayden. What's your favorite loadout for Helldivers 2? And now we're talking about.
Oh my goodness. This is where we. Oh my God.
That's legitimately where the question started, because we were talking about video games and then work life balance and business.
Oh my God.
Brayden, 12 out of 10 question, dude. That was freaking amazing.
Brayden, don't ever call him again. You're disbarred.
I never want to see Brayden's face on his podcast ever again.
Never.
But listen, I think it's going to get involved. So I'm sorry that this kind of went on, but clearly, like, mental health for me and Dan is very important.
Yeah, it's absolutely important.
Because,
absolutely.
Guys, owning your own business sucks.
It's not just a thing that I need to do, like, physically and mentally, but actually it's something that I take medication for.
Yeah.
I'm going to be honest.
It's a lot. I do too. It's called bourbon.
No. I legitimately take medication to keep myself calm and because there's a lot going on and it's a lot to take on. So don't be too stressed. Don't be what's the word I'm looking for? Don't be too proud to admit that.
Do not suffer in silence.
You need a little help. Yeah, don't suffer in silence. I like that.
If you have a doubt that day, first day in a long time, you reach out to me or Dan.
Yeah.
We're going to talk. Because, like, that's the thing. You're not alone. We're all doing this. Also, let's not beat a dead horse. Let's jump into the next question. Yeah. But please,
continue.
We're here for you guys if you guys need it. So
don't like this. Continue.
No, it's good, Dan. I love you, Dan. Next question is from Drew Paxton from... Drew Paxton, I'm forgetting his handle.
Outshop, Woodshop Outback.
This is Drew, Woodshop Outback.
Thank you.
There it is.
Quick question. What's the worst brand deal that you have participated in? All right. Keep up the great work, guys.
I forgot that he asked this question. Yeah. We pre-listened to this question.
Dan, you want to go first?
Yeah, absolutely. I'll go first. The worst brand deal that I've ever had. I've talked about this briefly on the podcast. I'm going to be completely honest, completely open right now. The worst brand deal I ever had was with Home Depot. It was awful. It was awful in the fact that, like, their communication was, egregious. Like, is egregious the word I want to use? It was just horrendous. They wanted me to do a YouTube video around their Milwaukee drivers, which I'm fine with. I love Milwaukee. I have used Milwaukee since almost the beginning of my content creation. So it really shouldn't have been that hard to integrate that into my content. And back then, I was actually making YouTube videos on the regular because I had Isaiah with me. If you've been following along long enough, you know I used to have a shop assistant slash YouTube videographer named Braden. Not Braden. Isaiah. Holy moly. Freudian slip much.
You're okay. Yeah. You're good.
So I turned in a video for him, and they said it was fantastic and I should go ahead and post it with no changes, no edits. So one of the things you have to deal with when you're dealing with brands, when you're doing long form content or even like small content like Reels or TikToks or whatever, you have to turn in a video and they have to approve it. So I turned in the long form video for this client and they said, this is fantastic. Yeah, you got approval, which is pretty rare in that they don't want to make any changes.
No redraft, no nothing.
No redrafts, no revisions, no nothing. I was like, fantastic. So I posted it. And then like a week later, they were like, you know what? You know what? Actually, we need to make a revision. And I was like, excuse me, we already posted it due to your recommendation. So it was not pleasant. So we went back and forth for a long time, and it took over a year to get paid what I was owed for that video. So,
which if you're relying on that income regularly, that's a pretty crazy number to hear.
Luckily, I was not relying on that income.
You're very lucky.
But it was still like super frustrating.
Imagine you're someone that's doing content and that's your big break and that's the experience you have.
So that one situation has kind of made me weary of doing any more sort of content for YouTube purposes. I really have no desire for that, but I realize that that's going to change in the future. As a matter of fact, it's absolutely going to change in the future because there's something that I need to post. But that was my worst interaction, 100%. Pete?
Well, for me, most of my worst interactions were actually very early on when I was doing this because I was always in a mindset of like, don't ask for help. Like you just figure it out. Like you suffer in silence. You just do it. You you don't tell someone cause they'll try to charge you for it type of like, I grew up in a very, very weird mindset with my family, just the way it was. Basically long story short is I did not ask for help ever. It just how I was brought up. I was just like, you figure it out. You're poor. Something's broken. You figure it out. And that's before Google. You just like figured it out. And the same thing happened with content. A lot of duct tape. You get into content and like, who's telling you how to do this stuff? No one. You figure it out. And like sometimes in the beginning, you're really afraid to ask. And the reality is you could have just reached out to some bigger accounts. And also, bigger accounts doesn't necessarily mean they know what they're talking about. They're just bigger accounts. There's bigger accounts that...
It doesn't mean that they're on some sort of like special plane that you can't reach.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean that. It really doesn't.
You can be like, oh,
there's still people.
Pete and Dan are big accounts. Hey guys, I'm dealing with an account with Lowe's. Lowe's reached out to me. They want me to blah, blah, blah. And we're like, I don't know why Lowe's works. Like I've never worked with them. And Dan would be exactly the same thing. Like, it all depends on who you talk to. So early on, I did not know my value. We've all gotten excited about a deal that we would get, like a tool for content.
Oh, yeah.
You know, tool for content. And then eventually you grow.
I remember the first time I was like offered a tool for content. I was like, oh, my. Oh, my.
I would have done two YouTube videos for a contour gauge. right?
I hit the big time. This is fantastic. They're going to offer me a freaking handheld screwdriver.
Bro. Killed for that back in the day. And that's the thing. Like, you get really excited. So the worst experience I ever had, and this is not like, no one was really like rude or anything. It just was like, the expectations were super
I think it comes down to communication.
It was all communication. I had a company reach out to me like, hey, we sell vices. Not drugs, but like vices. Like
I have a lot of vices.
Vicen. Like, they're like, hey, we're looking to showcase a drill press vice. I looked in your content recently. You got a new drill press. It was the Porter Cable drill press that I got like, at this point, like 5-6 years ago. And they're like, oh, we have that. And then we could throw in another one if you want two pieces and like do a video on it. We'd appreciate it. Like, yeah, this is simple, whatever. And again, this is before I knew about contracts, before I knew about deliverables, all this stuff. They were like, hey, cool, we'll send you this. And then they started demanding things. They're like, well, we just want a horizontal video. I sent the video. They're like, we wanted it more like this style and like more like a review. And I give them like 3 revisions on a horizontal style video for some Chinese knockoff, like, God knows if it's even cast iron or steel or whatever, two vices.
Chinesium.
To this day, they both live in boxes in my lev rack. And I'm like, oh, one day I'll put them out somewhere. I'll put one in a shop or in a shed, and maybe I'll put the one on a drill press. They're still sitting there. But I didn't know at the time. And I was like, they sent me, and I looked at the Amazon listings, like, they sent me $300 worth of stuff. This is crazy. Like, I have to deliver. And like, when there's bad communication and we've talked about this in the past, you don't know your value. You are going to try to over deliver on something and if they just say the right words in an email or in a message, you feel like you're the piece of crap that's like screwing them over. Mm-hmm. That's the worst part. So really know your value, learn about it. If you're ever just curious about it, like, is this the right thing? Whatever. Reach out to someone. Reach out to Dan and I or someone else. Just ask. Ask someone else that's a bigger account. Like, hey, is this a good deal?
Understand your value.
Yeah.
Know the communication. Understand what they're asking for. And go back and forth.
Yep.
And bottom line.
And the thing is, like, as you're growing, if you're serious about this, if you're going to continue doing content, if you're going to continue growing, I don't want to say lowball them, but charge them what your value is. Like, oh, you want a post a month? Well, you're going to get one post every 2 months or 3 months, like, or this many posts a year or something like that. Or like, you want two dedicated reels? I'm going to give you one. Like, for this product, that's what I'm at my price. This is what it is. This is where a media kit is really nice, because you can send them the media kit and it looks really legitimate.
Right.
And if you're curious about that, again, reach out to us. It just basically says who you are and what your prices are. And, you know, it looks legitimate. So you can tell them, like, well, your product's only $200. I charge $300 a post. So there's no way I can give you two posts for this. I'll give you one in a story if you're lucky. And then guess what? They'll probably say yes. You know your value. That's all it is.
Correctamundo.
Well, the last question we got is from Patrick Genesal.
Hey guys, Patrick Gensel here. Real quick question. I was sitting down working on some YouTube video scripts for myself, and it just occurred to me that I haven't seen any long form YouTube videos from Petrie's Workshop, and I know he's been working on them. So can we get an update on them? All right, that's all I have. Have a great night.
I think this solely falls on your shoulders, Pete.
It does, and that's why I kept that off my bench just for this. So I'm not like a full-blown YouTuber or content creator, because like, YouTube is a whole different beast.
Oh, and it's a lot of work. It's a freaking lot of work.
Especially if you have a project that like is not a weekend project, week project. It's a months long project. Because like, again, I don't get in a shop every single day. It's hard. Like, I don't work in a shop. I have a day job. So The issue I've been running into, and I actually had this conversation with Emma a couple weeks ago, where I go, hey, if I try to pitch you a YouTube video for my next video after this Kitchen Island. So the Kitchen Island, by the way, is being fully recorded. Every step, we're making a video out of it. I'm going to suffer through it. I'm trying to be as organized as I can, but we're doing it. It's been months, though, at this point.
Golf clapping in the background.
Thank you. Golf clapping with the yawn. And like, I really want to do it because, like, I do want to do this thing. I want to do YouTube. I want to grow that channel. I'm not an editor. I don't like it. I'm okay at it. I'm not great at it. And it's really intimidating, you know, but I told Emma the other day, I go, if I tell you that, hey, I want to like tackle this big project that's clearly going to be weeks, if not months, as my next YouTube video, I need you to just slap me across my face. Just a big old backhand.
Can I do that?
You can't. Or? No, she could do it. She could do it, but not you. Sorry.
Okay.
Yeah. Damn it. Well, it's fine. But it's okay, Dan. It's okay. But you can text me. Is that the same?
Can I text you a backhand?
You can do that. Yeah, just with the palm emoji. But essentially, I told them, like, next project I want you to encourage me to do, if I try to, like, hey, I'm going to do the basement remodel as one video, just smack me and go, no.
No.
You're going to do a one day or one weekend video where all the footage is shot in less than 3 days, and then you're going to edit that. Because that's a reality, but like, I can't do just continuous like week-long projects. Like, this video alone is going to be like, I have like gigabytes and hours of footage at this point, and I'm not even done yet. The YouTubers that put out videos every week, I respect the hell out of you guys. Like what Keith does, what Jason does, what Sam does, all those people.
Well, here's the thing. Here's the thing. That's their whole thing.
That is their whole thing.
That's what they do.
But then you have people that are full-time working and also doing
don't
that.
Don't give those guys any credit. Don't.
They're superhuman. They're superhuman. That's not real. That's not how real people work.
It's not real.
And that's the whole YouTube reality, Instagram reality.
It's all AI. Don't give those guys like, any credit.
Some of us have hobbies. Some of us play video games. Some of us like to relax. Some of us have jobs. Some of us just go, like, they work at a job and they get home and go, hi, honey, I am home. I will see you in 4 hours when I go to bed. I'm going to record now. And they have that discipline.
I can't do that. I can't do that.
I hang out with Emma. I like go through Instagram messages and I still don't get through all of them.
As much as I like to complain about my wife, I actually really like my wife and I like hanging out with her.
Ever complain about Kayla?
I don't. Well, I like to do it like funsies for a bit or whatever.
Yeah.
I actually like hanging out with her. I like spending time with her.
We like our wives.
So whenever I have free time, yeah, I'm gonna go hang out with my wife and chill and maybe bring our kids into the fold. That sounded weird.
You guys hang out. You're all friends. You're family, but you're also friends. That's the whole thing of like the boomers.
They have like, to be friends with me. That's
treat
the
their
way
parents
I like
to see or their kids like
they're
like
obligated to be friends with me.
Yeah. You're going to be friends with me or die trying. But the long, short answer here is, Patrick, I'm working on it. We're really trying it. And I appreciate you immensely for calling me out on this. Because
Patrick, I don't appreciate you.
Yeah. Dan, where's your video?
I have a video that's going to, it's going to have to come out soon, actually. Well, I have 12 months to make it, I think. So I have to make a video for Thunder. So there's that. But according to my knowledge, my understanding of the contract that I made with them, I have 12 months to make it from the time that I signed. So I have about 10 and a half months left. So
this goes back to the concept of like when you
a
video,
I'm fine.
Like also a lot of us tend to think that like, each one of our videos needs to be here's how I turned $1,000 into a 12 acre property with a shop on it. Like
that's, you know, exactly what I'm trying to do.
Like, everyone's trying to like do this grandiose and listen, I am no exception to this. Every video I want all of my videos to like a Michael Bay film. because it's not even the editing, it's the story. I want to tell the story. Like, I'm going to be the next Spielberg of woodworking. Like, you're not. just do a video. Put it out. Because your friends, the other creators, are going to follow you. They're going to check it out. I'm like, oh, what's Pete up to this week? Oh.
Can I be the Martin Scorsese of woodworking?
You can be the Philharmonic Orchestra of woodworking.
Can I be the P. Diddy of woodworking?
Oh, that's never mind. Too soon.
Never mind.
You're the R. Kelly of dovetails.
Nope. Let's stop this whole episode. Nope. Don't
canceled.
Like, don't like this.
Completely canceled.
Do we have any more questions? Is that it? Can we call it a... Can we...
Is that it? You're cutting it off?
Yeah. Well,
good question, Patrick. Thank you for the support. I will be getting a video out to you within the next couple weeks.
My FBI agent will be reaching out. Thank you.
Why would he do that, Dan?
I don't know.
Oh, that Jonery theme gets me every time. Go check out Jonery podcast.
Don't.
But that's it, guys. Next week, I don't know if we're gonna have a guest. We might not. You know what, we're kind of leaning into the whole thing where like Dan and I just us girls just having a good time.
I don't know if you know this or not, but we wing this by the seat of our pants every week. We have no idea what's going on.
Hey, we added sound effects. You guys should, you know, like be signing up for that at least bottom tier of Patreon, which we appreciate. Like, that's literally, we joke around about keeping the lights on. Like, that's what keeps us going. Like, this is a job. We spend hours every week to do this. But we love doing it. And we want to keep doing it.
It is currently 12:12 a.m. Central Time, and we've been doing this since 8 p.m. I've been sitting at this desk for 4 hours and 12 minutes.
Dan, to add more weight to that, it is 1:12 a.m. here on the East Coast, the One True Coast, and it's 1:12. I sat down at this desk at 8:30 p.m. So, like, we try to make sure to put out some content for you guys. And if you guys do want to see something different, if you want us to do different types of interviews, if you have somebody that you want us to see, please reach out to Another Woodshop Podcast or send us an email. Sure, why not? AnotherWoodshopPodcast@gmail.com or Another Woodshop Podcast on Instagram. Send us a message. Be like, hey, you should have this person on. You should have this person on. Here's a topic you guys should consider, because we're always looking to do new things. And once in a while, we like to have
How do you guys feel about Amish furniture?
Amish furniture?
Is it really made by the Amish, though?
Bet.
I feel like it's not. I feel like it's just furniture that was made with that name for the
industry. Pottery Barn Amish Furniture.
No, what they bought the name for the recognition only. What is the phrase I'm looking for?
I don't know. Transcendence? Choreography?
Nope. Get back to me.
Dan's just done.
Well, I'll have guys, it next week.
That's all our questions. I hope you enjoyed the show. We kind of like just things up a little bit with some sound effects and things, but thank you for joining us. These are great. If you are in business and you just need to talk to someone, hey guys, we're here. If you're listening to this podcast years down the line, we might be too busy to talk to you, but we're going to try. We're always going to try.
I'll make an effort.
We're going to make an effort. We're always going to make an effort. So please, if you have any questions or anything like that, please reach out. If you want to help support the show, please check us out on Patreon. It's the best way to support us. If you don't want to support us financially, that's okay too. Just make sure to subscribe to the podcast. Make sure you grab your grandma's iPad. Subscribe to the podcast as well. The more views and downloads we get, it's just automatic at that point. The more views and downloads we get, the better. It helps us out. Helps us out with sponsors. And please stay tuned for episode 200 in just 4 weeks. We are excited to do some giveaways for you guys. And we're going to work over the next 4 weeks to get some really big sponsors if possible. But at the very least, the biggest sponsor
giveaways,
we might get is AWP for the AWP podcast. So we'll go from there.
We're actually going to do giveaways, possibly.
Oh, yeah. Oh, we definitely will.
Yes.
Depends on
we'll do giveaways.
What level.
They might be my used socks, or they might be like something nice.
Why are they so hard?
You never know. Tune in. It's going to be great.
Anyways, well, we'll see you guys all next week. I love you all. Bye, 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 bye.
Love you long time.
Bye.